It's about that time. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is, what is this? It's Thursday morning already. This week has just went flying by. It seems like I've been on one continuous trip all week. Very strange week. Just been a very tough week. 8:38 a.m. Central Time, so it's 9:38 Eastern Time. I happened to be on the boat this morning. I spent the boat on the night. Spent the night on the boat last night. Just a lot of things I need to weigh in on some things that are happening around the globe, mostly around the country here. A couple things I want to talk about. One, of course, is what's in my cup, and it's unfortunately it's not very hot, but it's chai. And I have cream, I think it's just coconut cream pie? I mean, I don't know, coconut creamer in it. I can't remember what I've got here on the boat. It's not the same as what I have at home. Now, I also have a backup cup of leftover Chick-fil-A sweet tea to my ready whenever I need it to smooth out the old pipes here this morning. I had an interesting night on the boat. It's been pretty windy. And last night I had, there were winds, 30, 40 miles an hour. But the interesting thing is it's all been out of the north. And when that happens, the boat, the harbor here, even though it's well protected from the lake, the swell and some of the wave action actually comes in when the waves get big enough. You can tell when there's heavy waves out on the lake because it's actually can feel some of the swell here in the harbor. It's connected. The harbor is connected to a river, so it's off the river that goes into the lake. And when it makes it in this far, I'm not exactly right next to the mouth of the channel here. So that's quite drastic. I haven't gone out to actually look at it this morning. I did go for my bike ride, and I got some breakfast, and got all tuned up and ready for the show. And I've been listening to a few things. Now, it's been interesting to hear all of the commentary. I have simply absorbed as much as I possibly can before I make any comments on what I think is going on. However, there are some very obvious things that I can... I don't want to just armchair pilot this thing. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a security specialist, and I'm not a financial counselor, but the thing that bothers me, I guess, most about this is the lying, and now that's coming out. There's actually either misinformation or disinformation coming out here. The FBI director is either being told things that are not true, or she's just making stuff up. Either way, either she should be firing some people who are giving her false information, or she should be stepping down. She has no business being in this position. I've often wondered about, who really controls. The Secret Service is no different than the FBI, in my opinion, in terms of the way any other agency of the government. They can be. I'm not comparing them to the FBI. I think they are probably more upstanding than the FBI. Here's the problem. It is an organization made up of human beings who supposedly have no political bias. Really. There have been agents who've been fired because they briefly said in conversation, "I'm not going to take a bullet for the guy." Now, whether they were fired or not, or whether they're demoted or put on, administrative duty, whatever they, I don't know. But if you're willing to vocalize it, and especially with people who you think are your friends, that you probably think you're safe saying that around, is it possible that implicit bias is there in some of these people, and that they wouldn't take a bullet for the guy, or that they, and this is, I'm just talking about the agents themselves. Now, it goes deeper than that. the agencies, the people behind this, the higher ups, people like Strzok, McCabe, Comey, these individuals in the FBI, supposedly Comey was, you know, his poop doesn't stink, but people who worked under him, like McCabe, Peter Strzok, many of the others around them, his lover, they were all saying things very derogatory towards Donald Trump before in the 2016 election. Now, I have not... There's a lot of things I want to get into later on. I'm going to put together a lot of things here over the weekend. Monday's show will actually be fairly in-depth. I have... I've got time off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and I plan on having a pretty decent show put together for Monday. And I really want to put, now that we've had a chance to have go through an entire week of information, disinformation, very weird stories, you know, what was the truth here? What was going on? How did the shooter get on the roof? Were there any police officers in the building that he was on? What the delays were about, why things happened the way they did, why they didn't get Donald Trump off the stage when they knew that there was a threat, you know, half hour before. A lot of questions. No answers or no good answers at this point. But Dan Bongino is very good. You know, since he was a Secret Service agent, he understands the ins and outs of the. So I've been, you know, soaking in what he has to say. But I don't want to depend on just one person. I've also been listening to a lot of people in military security, other security things, and some other Secret Service agents that have some been interviewed. Is it Corey Wells? Corey, whatever his name is. He was being interviewed. He was I think he was a Marine sniper or Navy SEAL sniper. He's actually in Congress now. He's being interviewed on CNN. And he was saying, no, we need to have an investigation, and we need to open up the possibility of any possible issues. One of those things that he said was, you know, if this was an inside job. Now, Peter Gouveia, or Robert Gouveia, watching The Watchers, he actually did a very good job of laying out the different levels of negligence. You can tell someone, hey, just leave the gate unlocked, and then we take care of the rest. That's, you know, that's kind of a... There's the whole thing of, well, I accidentally did something, or we had something sealed, thought it was secure, and it wasn't secure enough. There's the, I thought it was secure, but nobody latched it. There was the, I thought it was secure, but that person went through, and they always go through there, and they don't latch it, and we knew that, and we didn't check it after. There was, you know, there's all kinds of levels, different levels of who was manning the door kind of thing that allowed the crime to happen. And then there's the point where it gets to knowledgeable negligence. In other words, they enable the person to do the crime. They just leave the door open for them to do it, knowing that they're going to do it. And then it goes to the point of where you actually empower them to do it. You provide not just access, but you provide the means and let you know, nature take its course in that respect. Now, some very interesting things about this whole thing that are very disturbing. But I don't want to focus on that today. I'm going to talk about this stuff on Monday. I really want to drill down that stuff and get some good audio, go over some facts and figures as things continue to filter through and kind of lay out the best that I can. Not that it matters that we don't absolutely have to know. It's kind of like this Michael Steele. You remember Michael Steele? He was the head of the RNC for a while. I don't know if it's the GOP or the RNC, whatever it's called. He was the head of the Republican National Committee. I don't understand how he got in that position, except that now he's full-blown Biden supporter, anti-Trumper, and basically is on CNN and MSNBC all the time as a commentator, and he's a regular person on a panel, I think, on one of those. I think it's on MSNBC. He actually, the rhetoric has just gotten ridiculous, but I want to talk about that a little bit. But the one thing I really want to talk about this morning, and I don't have a lot of time for the show, but I want to talk about this one thing, is the profound effect this has had on our nation, but deeper still, the even more profound effect that this has had on Donald Trump. You don't go through something like this, and I talked about this earlier in the week. I said something about this, I believe, on Monday. Maybe it was last week. It could have been last week. And what happens to a person who is faced with this kind of thing, it takes the brain some time to process it all. You continue to replay the event in your head over and over and over again. And I'm sure that Donald Trump didn't sleep that night. Now, you might be aware there's some prophecies out there about, actually there was a guy that prophesied this very thing happening to him back in March. The outcome of this, but I want to, just in my observation, I observe people a lot. I spend a lot of time in airports, and I guess I've developed a hobby of kind of watching people and just kind of seeing, wondering where God is at in their life. I'll see people walking through the terminal and just kind of want to have some hours to kill. And you look at a person and you wonder, you pray for them. You kind of say, God, what are you doing in their life? What's going on? And you're just kind of looking for those people that need prayer. Or I'm just walking around. I spend a lot of time walking. I don't sit as much as I do walk. But because you notice that people are going from place to place in a frazzle, typically in an airport. Except for the people who are in front of me, they're usually going really slow. I don't know why that is. But I'm the one in the frazzle. But the obvious thing that happens is that people get really caught up in their little world. And they think that if they don't make their flight, that's just the end of the world. And that everybody should get out of their way if they've got a flight to catch. It's just interesting to see the different attitudes people have, the different places where people are in life. And so I spend a lot of time observing people. So that's kind of my side hobby. Like I've said before, voices and people's speech has a tendency to be more of a thing for me. Something that I guess I just developed a skill in understanding when they're speaking. But it kind of goes along a little bit with, body language and some other things. But I have seen people many, many times, when the hand of God is upon them and they are going through some stuff internally, heavy stuff, there's a certain look on their face that they have, and there's a certain tenor and tempo to their voice that becomes very telling. The pace of their walk, the entire chemistry of everything that they do seems to be different. When I looked at the RNC, the evening of the RNC, beginning of the convention, Donald Trump was there and he was walking out and he was waving and This is a man going through some heavy stuff right now. Now, at his age, it takes a lot for that to happen. There's typically, you kind of get weathered to a lot of the things in life, and you kind of, your character kind of develops to a point where it takes a lot to affect you to this depth sometimes. he was profoundly affected by this, by what happened. He walked out into that arena, and it was very obvious he was reflecting on the fact that this almost didn't happen for him. The convention would have been a very, very different thing had Donald Trump not survived that last Saturday. The country would be a very different place today. We're all squabbling and squibbling about what happened and who did what and how'd the ball get dropped. And fortunately, we're not talking about a successful outcome in this attempt on his life. However, there was a man who died. Very honorable guy, apparently. And two other people were seriously wounded. Having said all of that, I believe that Donald Trump is going to go through some things in the next... Now, here's what I see happening. And I don't... I believe Donald Trump's going to be our next president. There's no way they can put anybody else up now. And Joe Biden, of course, now he's just digging in. He's dug his heels in. He's like completely dug in on this issue of running. He's going to run. He's convinced of that. A lot of people on the left are upset about that. Adam Schiff has come out and told him to step down. Of all people. Who Adam Schiff, I think it was like three or four months ago, there was no better candidate than Joe Biden. He was either lying then or lying now. Take a pick. Now, this Michael Steele guy has come out. The left is going nuts over this whole thing. It wasn't a real bullet. It was staged. Oh, yeah, this is Donald Trump's idea. Hey, let's go out there. I'm going to go out there. I'll be talking, be wiggling my head around, talking about. And right about this point, why don't you shoot my ear? Just barely nick it. Just barely nick my ear with a bullet there. Just shoot about a few bullets past my head there and just nick my ear with that thing. That'd be great. But that didn't happen. There was no staging of this kind of an event. But there are people in the Democrats that believe that this is the case. What's more alarming to me and what's actually most disgusting to me, and I don't know how to even process this, is the number of people who are willing to come out and say, oh, I wish he would have, I'm so mad at the guy for missing. A guy named Jack, is it Jack Black, whatever his name is. He's got a band. I think he was playing down in Australia or something on tour. One of his band members said something about, it's his birthday, and he said his wish that he made was that the shooter wouldn't miss next time or whatever. I guess he's canceled his event. These people, they come out and they make all kinds of comments because democracy is at stake and this is at stake. And he's an existential threat. Existential means it's completely going to destroy our country. It's an existential threat to our country, to our democracy. What do you mean? So he gets democratically elected? And that's a threat to our democracy. Because he's never, ever going to leave. You mean like the first time he left? Oh, he tried to overthrow the election. You're deranged. You're insane. You're having problems. Get some counseling, okay? Stop. Get some help. Here's Michael Steele. And my question is, what kind of point are you trying to make here, Michael? Let's listen to what he has to say. Because this is really rather just stupid, and just a stupid comment. And this is how this guy ever got to the top of the RNC, why this guy is even on national television giving his opinions at all. He should be just completely ignored, not even fired, just ignored, just gone, just get rid of him. He shouldn't be on TV at all. I don't want to know his issues. It's just So here we go. This is Michael Steele, former RNC chair. A lot of things can be said about that. So we have, here he is talking about the glass theory, the shards of glass.
That's fine. Where I am at this point is it's been 3 days going on four since this horrific event occurred. A person lost their life, two have been severely injured, and yet we've not received a medical report from the hospital, nor have we received a medical report from the campaign or from the Trump organization about the extent of the damage to his ear if he was shot by a high caliber bullet.
First of all, are we supposed to get a report? Is there Donald Trump's not the president? Do we have a right to his medical records? This kind of surprises me that all of a sudden Michael Steele is so concerned about getting Donald Trump's medical records. What happened to his ear? Was it a high caliber bullet? Well, there wouldn't be anything left of his ear if there was. No, you don't understand. You can get nicked. It's this guy's just a total. I better settle down.
There should probably be very little ear there. And so we'd like to know that. Is there cosmetic surgery involved? What is the prognosis for recovery? Were there stitches? What is the extent and nature of the damage to his ear?
I don't know.
Is it caused by a bullet as opposed to, as some reports from those on the scene, other reports,
listen to this,
saying that it was actually shards of glass from the teleprompter itself, not the bullet. So there are a lot of questions around.
That's fine. Have your questions. If it was shards of glass, what difference does it make, Senator? What's his point that he's trying to make here? It was shards of glass. It wasn't a bullet. It was shards of glass. Okay, and that changes things. And that, well, then it wasn't. He didn't really try to kill him then. He was trying to kill the guy on the stand. Donald Trump was never in danger. It was just shards of glass. It wasn't high round. Well, what caused the shards of glass? Which it wasn't, by the way, because both teleprompters were fully intact. You can see that clearly on the video. The teleprompters were not hit. Just idiots. And what are you trying to prove? What's your point? Well, we don't know how extent of his injuries. He had this big Band-Aid on there. So now you're saying, and maybe the Band-Aid was oversized. Maybe it was just covering up. It was more of a covering because the ear was kind of torn up and it just didn't look good. You just can't sometimes, cartilage like that is very difficult to get, sewn back together and get it in place. And I had a nose injury myself in a car accident where I had about 39 stitches. Most of them were on the inside of my nose. Talk about painful. It didn't matter. The worst part of it was getting the Novocaine shots in my nose so they could deaden the pain of the stitches. If you had to put one more stitch in my nose, I kid you not, I was gonna rip his head out. I was ready to hurt the guy. I was getting angrier and angrier. Now, prior to the stitches going in, I was laying there in the hospital, and the guy who pulled out in front of me, he apologized to me and said, "Hey, I understand. It's you got in a hurry, whatever. You just didn't look both ways, pulled out, whatever." I was very forgiving. Had the guy showed up in my room after I went through all that pain of the pain of getting myself patched back up again, I don't know what I would have said to the guy. I was pretty mad at that point. That was no fun. And I went through about 2 or 3 weeks of hobbling around, bruised up, face was all mangled up, my nose. You just can't, you got bruising everywhere, you've got your nose, it's got stitches in it. It's right, it's plain as the nose on your face. You can't, you just can't walk in and talk to somebody. And I was surprised at how quick I was to be angry with someone. Now, I could control myself. When I went to get my car, I had some things in my car. I was going to go get some stuff out of my car. I showed up at the impound lot where it was at. And I said, "Hey, I need to, get a few things out of my car. If I could get access to it." It was back in some locked up yard. He said, "Well, you can't do that. We have to have a court order to get anything out of the car." I was like, I was ready. There was this little glass window, you know, with those little circles cut out in it. She was talking to me through this whole thing. This was just at a little car repair place with a tow truck. They're the ones that towed it off. In that moment, I felt like, you know, I could reach through that little hole and pull you through it. And you're gonna let me in that yard. It's my car. I was done wrong. I was the one injured. I didn't do anything wrong. And you're gonna stand there and tell me I can't have access to my car. A million things went through my head at that moment. And I was unwilling to put up with anything like that after going through what I went through. Car was bent in half practically. So, needless to say, my dad, who was a realtor at the time, went over to take some pictures of the car. He just drove in with his car. Just drove right in the lot, took some pictures, got my stuff, and drove out. They thought he was an insurance guy. They didn't even question him. He was wearing a suit and tie. You know, he walked, went in there, got everything out of the car that I needed. Got my camera, all my stuff. And this was back in the mid-90s. And what was ridiculous about this was that there was no reason why they couldn't let me see the car. It's just, you know, but they just didn't want to do that. So it all worked out. But the point I'm trying to make here is, what's the point the left is trying to prove here with all this ridiculous nonsense? They're all mad now because, oh, Donald Trump had his moment. Now he's been galvanized as being a, you know, let's face it. This was a pretty tough show of leadership on his part, what he did. He was not rattled under any of this. They want to make this guy out to be a monster, make him out. With the Secret Service is not supposed to. Once you get shot at, once there's threat to your life, you no longer get to call the shots anymore. You don't get to say, hey, I want to get my shoes. Hey, wait a minute, I want to do this. No, they're getting you off the stage. Their job, all of a sudden, you're in their world now. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but they were saying, go, move now. All this weird stuff that they were saying, and they weren't moving. They were confused. There was nothing but confusion here. It's like I had no plan. How do we get this guy off the stage? He's a large man. He's a very tall, large man. And you've got women there who are half his size. And he's still, in the midst of all this, is still in charge. Wait, I got my shoes. No, sir, we're leaving now. That's the way this happens. We're here to protect your body now at this point. We don't listen to anything you say. We're just protecting your body. They let him sit. They let him get his shoes. And he goes, wait, and he kind of pushes him aside. Fight, fight, fight. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but at that point, if he would have just been carried off the stage or walked off the stage and not said anything, the people who were there for that event, the entire atmosphere of that place would have been just nothing but solemn sadness and despair and confusion. Surreal confusion. When he did that, when he did what he did, it said so many things, but the one thing it mainly said to me is, I am in this with you. We are in this together. And this isn't just about me, this is about us. That's what it said to me. Now, granted, whatever you want to say about the guy, he's egotistical, whatever you want to say about him, he's large, you know, has a large ego, whatever you want to say. But obviously, he cares about this country. He's not a Russian puppet. They're even saying now that the Russians planned this. That's come out. Of course, the other option is, well, we can't use the Russians again. We have to, this time, because the Russians are supposed to like him. So this time it's the Iranians. The Iranians were planning some kind of a thing. They're actually planning a threat. Sorry, that's my little water pump here on the boat. These people are insane. They're insane with delirious ideas of who Trump is, and that's what led us to this point. They're losing miserably. Joe Biden's poll, the polls are, and I guarantee you within the next week we're going to see polls that really come out. Like I've always said, there's about a 2 week, about a 10 to 14 day gap in polls in terms of people's reactions. But the one thing that, and here's how I see this playing out. I believe that Donald Trump is going to have a much closer walk with God. You're going to hear that come up more and more now in his conversation. He's going to realize that the Secret Service wasn't really the ones who protected him so much as just God himself and his sovereignty and his providence was watching over him. Doesn't mean he approves of everything in his life. Just means that has a purpose and a plan for the guy. And this is part of it. And this will have an effect on his life, on the lives of those around him, on the nation. And I believe that the people, the powers that be behind the scenes, Donald Trump will be the president. And in my opinion, the deep state is not going to like this. BlackRock and some other companies that are the financial institutions of the world that are trying to take over the world, trying to control everything in the world, mainly you, they are plotting and planning all kinds of things right now. And in my opinion, to get what they want, they will crash the economy. There are some things being put in place right now that are very quiet behind the scenes, not being noticed by BlackRock and some other financial institutions out there that I believe are deep in the pockets with people like Alejandro whatever the guy's name, the head of Homeland Security, who's an absolute mumbling idiot, and in my opinion has some really perverted issues in his life. Alejandro Mayorkas or whatever his name is. And then you have the other people who are like the FBI, head of the FBI, head of the, you know, individuals like that. And there's so many different levels within the FBI, within the Secret Service, the OSI, the NSA. All these different organizations have so many different levels, and you can have people, there can be corrupt levels at any particular place in there. They can have a dramatic effect on what happens within our nation's security and whatever happens with us. So that's where I'm going to leave it at this point. I believe that there's going to be some trouble ahead as Donald Trump is the president, but I think he's going to carry us through as he's shown himself to be the leader that he is. The attacks on his life and on his character, on his administration are not going to end just because he wins a landslide victory, which is just ridiculous to me. He could win every state in the country, and the left would still say he's the worst person in the world, has to be eliminated. It's like, this is the person that was most popularly elected than any other person probably in the history of this country, in modern times anyway, in my lifetime. I foresee it happening, especially if it runs against Joe. I don't think anybody else wants to run against Donald Trump right now. At least right now, it's just, I think it would be just suicide, political suicide to do so. Some of the ridiculous things they're saying, and they're, of course, their crazy wacko followers are just eating into everything they're saying. But I just want to leave it at this right now. Just continue to pray for our nation, our leaders, for each other. Help your neighbor any chance you get. And we will make it through this together. Obviously, the entire tone of the RNC now has changed. There are people, Nikki Haley even came out with support for Donald Trump. Of course, everybody's going to, you know, they realize this guy's the guy. He's the real deal. He's on the ticket. He's going to be the nominee. and they all want a piece of the action. They all want to, you know, they all want access. So they're going to say whatever they want to say. She got booed practically off the stage. But, you know, what do you expect? So, once again, folks, thank you for listening to my opinions. Like I said, I'm not sure if there'll be a show tomorrow. There should be a show tomorrow. Not positive there will be a show tomorrow. And I believe that we probably will have a show Monday that is very much more put together. Lots of things to go over. I don't want to just rehash everything. Everybody else is doing stuff on the shooter and everything that's happening. I want to talk a little bit more about the FBI and the lies that are happening. Some of the actual facts that we have going on. And what we're going to do over the next. Once again, folks, thank you. God bless. Have a great day.